Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here from Prophecy in the Spotlight. Glad to have you with us today. Man, we got one of my favorite topics that I used to preach on a lot. We don't tackle this too much anymore. I don't know why. The signs of the time. What we're going to talk about in today's show. Doctor's right here in the studio. Let me read. Go ahead and read a passage for you in Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. It says this. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Remember in the old Navy days, I was in the Navy, and we had a saying, remember, red sky at night, sailor delight. But red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. You know where that came from? Right here in the Bible. But then, look what the Lord says to these guys, the Pharisees he's talking to in verse 1. What's he say? He says, O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the sign of the time? Now, to be fair, let me make a point here. He's not talking about the rapture. Jesus himself is here. He's upset with them because they missed his first coming. You see, he didn't expect them to pinpoint his birth. Only a very few people understood the birth, saw the birth, knew about it. Zechariah and Elizabeth, of course, Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna, and some shepherds, a few people. But what they missed was his arrival on the scene as the Messiah. They missed it. And he's very upset with them about it. He says, O ye hypocrites, can you not discern the signs of the time? I believe this. I believe we're also going to miss it in our generation. I believe we too are going to miss his arrival at the rapture. Now, I think some of us are, we eat, drink, and sleep this stuff, and we're prepared and we know he's coming. But most people in the world are unaware. Unaware. I like that word. Unaware that everything is about to change. Unaware that your residence is about to change. You're about ready to go to heaven, to the marriage supper. And some of you that are not saved, you have no idea what's about to change. And you're going to face the worst time in the history of the world, the tribulation period. Doc's in the studio. We're going to share with you in today's program some signs of the times that point to the fact that Jesus is getting ready to take us to the clouds, take us to the marriage supper in what we call the rapture. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome to the show. I like that introduction. It came out just like I wanted. I wanted to get your attention today. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
He's coming soon. He's coming sooner than any of you realize. We are at the end of this thing. And I can still see Jack Van Impe, because he'd kind of do that. And he would just rattle and yeah. go. And he was excited. And he too believed the Lord was coming soon. But here we are. At the end of all things. Doc, you've been a preacher longer than I have, and I remember getting into prophecy years back, and I remember one of my favorite topics, if I was new at a church, possibly, I would preach on the signs of the times. It was just exciting, exciting stuff. And we don't talk about it quite as much as we used to. I think we got so many other things.
Yeah, we got so many signs that have come to the top, so to speak, that we deal with it more than we do these more general, without a lot of detail, maybe. But we're close enough to the end now, we're getting enough light on it that we're starting to be able to fill in a lot of details that we didn't have access to.
And we got Jubilee and the sabbatical cycles, and I mean, all these puzzle pieces that we talk about. And I think the signs of the times gets left behind.
Yeah.
And it's such an exciting thing, and it makes you think.
And they're obvious that we're in those times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's obvious.
And we'll give you plenty of chances to pipe in, Doug. Well, let me start it off with what I call the first. And these are in no order. These are just the way I picked them here. But the first sign that I want to give that shows where we are is 2 Timothy chapter 3, what we call perilous time.
Yes.
And I'm reading out of my Mystery of the Jubilee book here. All these signs I'm going to share with the folks today are right in this book. It's nice to have written a lot of books, Doc. You got outlines here you can just go to. But this is amazing what it says here in this passage. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous time
shall come.
Yes. Now that word perilous, the root word is peril. I think our audience, I think everybody knows what peril is. To be in peril means to be in danger. And he's saying that in the last days, dangerous
times
shall come.
Yeah.
I don't know about that shall anymore. Well, I think it's here.
Well, shall means definite.
Yeah.
It's not will or maybe. It is shall means it will. Yeah.
Well, he gives a list of things. But I personally think, and I shared this in my live stream the other night, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's dangerous.
Boy.
When men are lovers of themselves, but not lovers of... Get out on the highway in your car, and a guy out there doesn't love you, only cares about himself, that's dangerous. You don't think about the other drivers.
There's a lot of applications to that danger, yes.
I think all the things in this list go back to the main statement. This know also that in the last days, there's perilous times coming, dangerous times. Here we are in America, Doc, the great country of the world. I mean, look back at the 50s and look at what America was.
It's not
the same country. No, we got riots all over our country.
We do, and the lawlessness that's connected with the perilous times, other passages.
Yeah,
these are very lawless times, and the reason why they're perilous is because we have lawless leaders leading lawless people, and laws, what's right and wrong, the Constitution and what's right and wrong in God's eyes, it's an irrelevant thing to them.
Yeah.
Makes them very perilous times.
I mean, with the woke agenda and all that foolish stuff.
That's so contrary
to the Bible.
Gender fluidity and all of the terminology out there for that. No, God made a man and made a woman.
He made them male and female. This is my brand new book, the Genesis book. He made man. He made them male and female.
That's right. Exactly.
There's no in between.
Yeah.
And marriage is male and female.
But all of this, though, you hit on it a moment ago. It is really selfish, self-centeredness.
Yeah.
And this is where it's all about.
Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous.
Yep.
Hey, to be covetous of your neighbor's stuff or your neighbor's wife, that's dangerous.
That's
right. That becomes dangerous. Boasters, thinking you're better. Proud. Blasphemers.
Well,
disobedient to parents.
That sounds like a whole lot of people I know.
It sounds like America today.
Sounds like the world.
Unthankful. Yep. Unholy. Without natural affection.
Oh, my.
You know, where's the most dangerous place to be in the world?
In the womb of a mother.
Isn't that sad?
Sad.
Did I hear recently it's 60-some million now or 80 million?
It's unreal. I don't remember the count.
I remember it hit 50, but it's still going.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was watching yesterday, and they were showing some of the statistics of Western culture. And we only are having 1.6 children per family unit. If you're under 2.4 or 5? You can't replace your own population.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and it's all, of course, the devil wants to destroy the family, and he's done a masterful job.
Yeah. And Mrs. Goodwin, do we have this in queue? We don't, and it's too late to get it in and out. That's okay. This is, let me have this camera. Many of you have this book. This has been out a few years, The Mystery of the Jubilee. My Signs of the Times that I'm looking at is a chapter in this book and many other things in here. It's on the website if you would like to get it. and we'd be glad to send that out to you. Doc, I've got a couple. I got another one, but if you want to pipe in,
Oh, there's a lot of them. I'll comment on whatever you, because there's so many of them.
Yeah,
we couldn't begin to touch all of them.
Yeah, but if there's one in particular, maybe that I'm not going to mention, and you just you just
pipe. Well, the deception of the end times.
Okay, there you go. I mean,
we're living in a time where the greater majority of the people are absolutely deceived.
Yeah,
and one of the signs of the Antichrist will be a great delusion that sweeps the world. We're already watching the entire world under a cloud of deception. It's amazing.
Well, here's one that people don't think of. The thought and the statement that we're all God's children.
Yes.
We hear that on television.
Yeah.
We hear it. That's not true.
No.
We're not all God's children.
Humanity was made in the image of God, but we are not all God's children. Because when you're born in Adam, and in Adam all die.
Yeah.
So we must be born again so that we are placed in Christ so that we can have eternal life.
You have to be born into that family.
That's
just
right.
Like you were born into Adam's family.
That's right.
To be born again.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But there's such a, it goes with what I said a while ago, the delusion. I'm amazed at the huge number of people who believe they're going to heaven because they've added baptism, good works, church membership, turned over a new, whatever it is. And they think they're going to heaven, and somebody who calls themselves a preacher has convinced them that this is how you go to heaven, when it's really simply believing what Jesus did on Calvary's cross.
Yeah.
Plus nothing and minus nothing. You don't add anything. But I was talking with an individual there. He was so excited because somebody he had been working on for such a long time, he said he was so excited that he got baptized. And I said, well, when did he make a profession of faith? He said, well, I don't know. But he said, he's sincere.
Hmm.
Well, you might be sincere, but sincerity won't take you to heaven.
You can be sincere that there's no God.
That's right.
That doesn't mean.
Well, the Bible even says the devil believes and trembles.
Yeah.
So the entire world is in some form or the other under a major delusion and deception.
And that's, I guess, because of the absence of the Bible. We've thrown
yes.
the Bible out. We've kicked
yes.
it out.
Absolutely.
And so all these other things replace
and
what
I'm
should have been there.
I'm teaching science in the Bible in our Bible college, and I said, I'm convinced more and more all the time that the root problem for the resistance of the acceptance of the gospel is evolution.
Yeah.
The greater majority of the world has succumbed to the idea of evolution.
Yeah. What a scam. I mean, it's harder to believe that
yes.
than it is to believe that God created everything.
Takes more faith to believe that than does believe the Bible.
Absolutely. When you get into the chemistry of everything, the biology
yes.
and the
oh.
and what it would take,
amazing.
There's no chance
yes.
that evolution could be.
No. But I can show them that evolution was a religion long before it ever became what's known as science.
Yeah.
But this is the delusion, Dan, that I'm convinced is to where we are today has built such a great resistance to accepting the Bible, the evolutionary mindset.
Yeah. And now they make you feel like you're not educated.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you believe the Bible story. And
oh, yeah.
They mock you, make fun
That's
of you.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's give him another one here.
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 12 gives us two more.
Yeah.
We'll start with the first one. Let me read Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Let me stop right there. Daniel was told something, if you read the context of the passage.
That's right.
But Daniel didn't understand it. And God said, don't worry about it. It's not for you, Daniel. This is for the final generation. Hey, that's us.
That's it.
He said, seal up the book. Shut up the words. Seal the book. The final generation are going to get it.
That's it.
And I believe that we are that generation.
I think we are.
I believe we can understand things that
oh, yes.
that Spurgeon didn't understand.
I read commentaries all the time. And a great number of them, when you come to some of the passages of prophecy, they just skip right over because they had no clue.
Yeah. And God has unsealed these things.
Yes.
They were always there.
Well, they're there, but the closer you get to the fulfillment, more light comes on it so you can begin to see these details.
It comes into focus. All of a sudden, oh, I understand.
That's right.
I mean, who could have understood the mark of the beast 100
years
ago?
Yeah.
I mean, no man could buy or sell, say, if he has this
mark. And there were all kinds of speculation of what it's going to be and what it's going to be. But now we're coming to a time where it's becoming clearer and clearer with technology, what we're talking about.
Yeah. Now, here's the sign. This is number two. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. And then he gives us a sign.
Yes, he does.
Two of them here.
Two of them, yes.
Many shall run to and fro.
Yeah.
This is the running to and fro generation.
Oh, my.
Even the early 1900s, we were not. 100 years ago, we were not what we are today.
Took 6 months to travel the Oregon Trail and takes 36 hours to go to the moon. I believe we've come a long ways.
We have. And the truth is, with your computer, my grandson sitting back in the auditorium back here,
he's just amazing.
He can go anywhere in the world
on that computer. With the touch of a button.
Yep. Now, he can't physically be there, but he can see it. He can talk to people.
Yeah.
And
you have access to information.
Yeah. So the to and fro generation, for 5,800 years of human history.
Yeah, it's about that.
Man could only travel as fast as the horse, could take it. Now, you think about that.
Yeah.
What changed when the Industrial Revolution
hit
with the iron horse, they called it, the train, and then they started making cars, the Industrial Revolution happened, and all of a sudden things became automated, and boy, we have progressed down that road.
I mean, you can get on an airplane, and here, a few years back I went down to Fiji, and we left Dallas, and we lost a complete day in traveling. It was just gone. But when we came back, we gained a whole day and an hour. I mean, so it's amazing what travel is able to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what God was talking about. When you come to the end time, this is one of the signs, you're going to see the ability to navigate, the ability to move. I mean, just think about getting an automobile and being able to drive 70 miles an hour down the road.
You know, and I brought this out in my live stream. How long would it take to go 70 miles with a horse? You couldn't do it today. The horse got to rest.
That's right.
And you had to let the horse eat.
You can do this in one day.
Yeah, in
one
hour.
In an hour or less.
And my goodness, you can go.
If you ask my wife, she'd probably say less. But anyway, we'll go on to the next thing.
Now think about this, though. 100 years ago, 150 years ago, even if you could have traveled, you couldn't.
No.
You had a cow to milk every morning.
That's right.
You had chickens.
You had a homestead to have to take care of.
Yeah. You had a garden. You just couldn't go on a vacation for a week and a half. Of course, to go 300 miles or 600 miles, it would take weeks.
Absolutely.
You couldn't do it. So people didn't travel.
No. Not like they do. So that's one of the signs to tell. But the next thing that you're going to talk about is even more.
Okay. Sign number three. Same verse, Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book. It's not for you, Daniel. It's for the final generation. That's us. Even many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I brought out in my live stream, I brought out a couple things. He didn't say wisdom would be increased.
Oh, no.
He didn't say common sense would be increased.
There's a big difference between wisdom and knowledge.
He said knowledge would be increased.
Yes.
The access of information and truths, and it's there.
Technology has enabled us, and you hear it every day. Everybody talks somewhere about artificial intelligence and the warnings that are out there and all of that. Some people believe that's going to be the Antichrist. I guarantee you artificial intelligence is part of that network.
But it's not him, because artificial intelligence get cast into the lake of fire.
No, he's a real man.
Yeah, he is.
But knowledge. You know, when I was a younger pastor, my desk was probably only about this long, but to study for a message, I might have 5 or 6 books open here, open there, reading here and taking notes and all that. Today, I do all that in my tablet right here in front of me, my laptop.
Today, you can go to AI and say, give me a summary.
Write my sermon for me.
Give me a summary of biblical forgiveness or whatever topic and you want.
And walk to the pulpit. And walk to the pulpit and read it. Yeah. And maybe some of them do it.
God help us if that's what some of the pastors are doing. Mm. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not wrong to get information, get help. But my goodness, a sermon has got to come from your soul.
Right, yes. But the ability to access knowledge and information, it's mind-blowing.
This iPhone right here,
no bigger than that is.
Has more information on it than the whole Library of Congress.
The Britannica Encyclopedia that we used to have that took up that much room on the shelf.
Try to sell one of those sets now. You can't sell that on eBay.
I remember buying one time when we were first married,
Yeah. Well, they were great. I mean, we had commentaries, big old books. Yeah. I've still got some old books.
I still have all those on the shelves. I never hardly ever use them because all of that now is now digitally in front of you at a punch of a button.
So what God is saying is when you see dangerous times and things are dangerous, that's a sign of the end. When you see that you're living in the running to and fro generation, and I do it every day. I mean, every day I get to the end of that, and I'll talk to a friend on the phone, and well, what you been doing today, man? I've been over here, I've been here. I had to go do this, and driving all the time. Yep. Of course, we drive 2 hours to get here.
To get here, yep.
We drive 2 hours back. Sometimes we go to my daughter's another hour the other way, and then come back the next day and do another show.
And that's because this old man can't always do two back-to-back. But anyway.
There's grocery shopping. There's this. There's that. Got to go do this. And of course, I have an eBay business on the side that keeps me going, buying and selling stuff. So I'm always... This is the to-and-fro generation.
It is, absolutely. Everybody's busy.
And we meet ourselves coming and going, as you always say. I met myself. This is the knowledge. The knowledge of the world is at our fingertips now.
Yeah.
And yet this is the generation probably doing less for God than the guy on a horseback going from church to church.
That's because what time has been saved with all of our gadgets has taken up all of our time, consumed us. So therefore, we don't meditate on what we do learn and what we do discover, and we don't take any time to share it with the world.
And that, I wrote here, my point, here's how I wrote it. The tremendous and almost frightening increase and availability of knowledge. That's how I wrote it in here.
Right.
It is amazing when you think how fast the access of knowledge is since the computer was developed. In addition, every year or every month, they are smarter, faster, and easier to use.
Yeah.
These are signs the Word of God is giving us of what it will be like in the last days right before Jesus returns. Hey, we're there.
And all of this is to make us aware that time is getting shorter, and we need to do, I think, two things outside of making sure we're saved, but I think we ought to get more serious about our Christian journey.
Yeah.
And I think we ought to take advantage of the opportunities to reach our families with the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, what a sad thing to go to heaven and turn around and your spouse is not there, left behind, or a child. I got a grandson back.
I talked with a gentleman the other day about it, and his wife had passed away, and tears started in his eyes because he doesn't think she was ever saved. And he'd gotten saved later in life, and so there's going to be a lot of heartbreak for God's people for a period of time over that very issue. So we need to realize these signs ought to tell us, quit piddling around and get serious about being a Christian like you ought to be, and at least do everything you can to get your family
saved.
Well,
in light of all that we just said, this one kind of goes right on the edge of it. Number four, in our generation, for the first time in history, one man can effectively rule
absolutely
the entire world.
Yes. And you're watching what one man, the President of the United States, you're watching how one man has unbelievable control over the thinking and decisions made in the majority of all of the world.
Yeah.
So can you imagine when that Antichrist with the power of the deception.
And the Holy Spirit gone.
All believers gone. It'll be simple for people to fall for the lie.
And it couldn't have never been done until our generation.
That's right.
With
That's
satellites.
Right. Yeah.
Communication, worldwide communication.
And we always talk about, you know, the rapture is imminent and it's since 70 AD. But the rest of prophecy has not been aligned to this point like it is at this moment. And we know that prophecy is pointing toward the day of the tribulation. It's not pointing to the day of the rapture. All prophecy is pointing to the day of the tribulation, that 70th week of Daniel. But what we know is that the rapture is obvious going to take place before that happens.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing all these signs and so many more that we could talk about, Dan.
Yeah.
We are at this moment, and it's the great moment. People say, I tell people all the time, I say, well, you're saying, boy, what it must have been like. You read Bible story and you say, boy, what it must have been like living in the Bible days. You're living in Bible times. Yeah. These are exciting times.
They are.
But we have allowed ourselves to get so bogged down with so much of this world that we've lost track of the importance of taking time to be prepared for the real world that's coming.
Just quick, I'll just read a couple of these. The developments in Israel in our generation from 1948, 67, and even now.
72,
I mean, they're almost at complete peace now. Really shocking.
It is.
We live in a generation that for the first time in history has the power to destroy itself.
That's push of a button.
The world could destroy itself in an hour. Yep. That was never possible.
Nope.
And until our generation. The signs of the last days church and Revelation 3, the Laodiceans, were there.
It's all about me and has nothing to do. It ought to be all about him, but it's all about me.
Yep. Folks, the book, The Mystery of the Jubilee, call the 800 number if you need to, and order it. Get online. You can go to my bookstore, get it. And Doc, what do they need to do to be saved? Give them a little.
Well, first of all, you got to realize you're lost.
Yeah.
People say, well, I'm a Christian because I was born in Christian America. Well, you're not a car if you'd have been born in a garage. You got to be born again. So first of all, you got to realize you're lost. And then second, you got to realize because you're lost, you're headed to an eternity in hell. Then you realize that there's not a thing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Then you discover there's a God that loved you so much that he did everything so you could be saved. And then lastly, it's simply believing what Jesus did for you, and he will keep his promise that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Simply by faith, putting your faith and trust in what he did for you instead of what you are trying to do for yourself.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Well, I hope that was exciting for you. Listen, we're close.
Yes, we are.
We're very close. It could be this year. Mm. But we're close. Yeah. I hope you know Jesus. If you need any help with that, get a hold of us, okay? And until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.